Session 99, October 21, 1964, The Early Sessions, Volume 3 of the Seth Material. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, we will here embark upon our evening's journeys. I find that the climate is more favorable this evening, and much to my amusement, I discovered that Rupert saw fit to corroborate my diagnosis of the condition existing on the left wrist by speaking to a doctor who did indeed corroborate my statement. I understand the reasons that you seek such corroboration. I would nevertheless appreciate Rupert taking me at my word sometimes. Later this evening, I may perhaps add a few remarks along these lines. Rupert did appreciate, with some correctness, part of this evening's subject matter, having to do with apparent deterioration of the quality of matter itself that composes the physical body. Since you know now that all physical matter is constantly coming into formation, that it is formed by atoms and molecules so instantaneously, and that these atoms and molecules that give form to matter continually appear and disappear so swiftly that the physical form that they compose appears permanent, then you must realize that there is no reason why physical forms should deteriorate as far as the atoms and molecules that compose them are concerned. You are, however, left with the fact that physical matter, while appearing permanent for practicality's sake, nevertheless does exhibit disintegration in varying degrees. Since the cause lies not with that which composes matter in physical terms, then wherein does the cause originate? It will be possible, for example, to eliminate such causes to any astonishing degree, and therefore prolong mankind's individual existence within the physical field. This, of course, would lead to the further question, to what purpose would such elongation serve? In which direction would it tend? You are also aware that certain physical organisms seem to withstand this final dissolution, or hold it off for a greater period of your time. For this also there are reasons, which we will consider in due time. We will begin by examining the cause behind the breaking up of necessary physical patterns, so that survival within the world of matter is no longer possible. Now, existence within the physical field depends upon a focus of psychic energy in the subconscious construction of that physical organism without which material survival is not possible. You may refer here to past sessions dealing with the mechanisms involved. Existence within any field of reality necessitates intensive focus within that field. It involves something like a sleight of hand trick played by one part of the whole self upon another part. As an actor in a drama goes along with certain acts and gestures that make the play necessary, while at the same time he realizes that the play is a play, he must still focus his attention upon the lines spoken and use the props available. In much the same manner, existence within the physical universe involves the most intense self-hypnotic trance, where attention becomes riveted and focused along certain lines while other realities are of necessity closed out of one's perception and comprehension for a certain while. No play can go on forever. Individual focus cannot be intensely maintained indefinitely. Neither can the vibrant, almost fanatical focus of the self within the limitations of one field continue indefinitely. I will suggest you break, Rob. Break at 9:30. Jane was quite well dissociated, she said. Her delivery had become quite energetic. She said she felt as though she was listening to someone else speak, but could not retain what she heard, nor did she know what was coming next. Seth, energy cannot be imprisoned for long within one form. The individual whole self, by its very nature, will not restrain itself indefinitely to the particular set of necessities and perceptions necessary for survival within any one given field of reality. It changes its focus, grows restive, adopts new forms in line with existence, necessities that exist within other fields. There is nothing inherent within the composition of matter as you conceive of matter to bring about a natural downfall or natural inevitable disintegration. Since matter does disintegrate, or seems to, you take it for granted that this dissolution is inherent within it, but this is not the case. The focus of energy that organizes the physical body weakens, strays. The trance state, strongest at what you call early adulthood, begins to lose its hold, even as in childhood it has not yet attained its full depth. The similarity here may not be easy for you to perceive, because of the diverse emotions with which you view childhood and old age. Nevertheless, the child, to an unrealized degree, is free of the environmental necessities of his existence. Even while he molds and is molded by his environment, a part of his psyche is still uninvolved. His subconscious, on an uppermost personal level, is concerned with infantile fears, of course. Yet, on a deeper level, he still retains hold upon such existences, so much so that he even yearns subconsciously for those past realities, which mean safety, since their problems have been already solved. He is unbound emotionally and psychically by physical time, even while his physical body ticks with physical minutes. By adulthood, the trance, the intense focus, is most strongly upon him. It is after this period that the trance little by little weakens its hold. By the period you call old age, the inner attention is already escaping. The strong focus of psychic energy needed to maintain the splendid physical image organization is no longer given. The conscious ego, with which you are familiar, cries out its bewilderment, for has it not always sensed immortality? But the outer ego, as you know, is that portion of the whole self that is given over to the maintenance of physical manipulations, and it perceives only through those physical equipments, those outer senses. It sees its dominion in jeopardy and rises up in arms. It, the ego, is that small portion of the whole self which the whole self has allowed to be completely or almost completely bewitched by the self-hypnotic trance. It is that portion which believes implicitly in the given specifications of the hypnotist, and as such, it will be last to leave the trance. I suggest your break. Seth, during that period you refer to as old age, once again emotionally and psychologically, the individual is less bound by physical time. He no longer, that is, the whole self no longer, makes available sufficient psychic energy, however, for the maintenance of the physical organism. This accounts for the disintegration. There is much more that must be said along these lines, and in time we will go into further discussion. However, the main focus of the whole self has already begun to stray, and the energies used in necessary pattern organization for the physical plane are already being returned, taken from their attention to physical matters, and becoming more attuned to the whole self from which they were originally delegated. Now, a more complicated, involved, intricate physical organization, such as man, necessitates on the part of the whole self a tremendous outlay of energy for maintenance of the psyche, physical, structural relationship. There is not only a physical survival at stake, but also a highly delicate balance to be maintained, since man is aware subconsciously of a heritage for which he ever seeks, and yet which for many reasons he cannot grasp. While in the physical state, he must know and not know. And there is a strain here that no fish or bird or worm experiences. The subject also will be fully elaborated upon. I also intend and had intended this evening to go into the causes behind the difference with which various physical individuals and species manage to make their physical forms endure, as far as continuity in your time is concerned. but this will have to wait. As far as Philip is concerned, they are also waiting in Chicago. Only one man is for doing anything, and this man is not the man whom Philip suspects. He is not. This man is not in as strong a position as the man whom Philip suspects. Rob, can you give us a name? It will be remembered that Philip, incidentally, is the entity name of John Bradley. Seth. He has brownish hair and glasses, and a slight mole on one of his cheeks. He is not even aware of his own feelings in the matter, but considers himself something of a father image as far as Philip is concerned, and feels somewhat betrayed. Two other men up rather high in the organization make no difference. Philip will not achieve certain stated goals unless he takes strong measures, but certain unstated goals on his part will be met. There was no distortion, but some confusion as far as the childbirth and water bag episode was concerned. As is sometimes the case, there is a misinterpretation which I will attempt to clear. Rupert's dream itself dealt with vessels. The correct interpretation was that of a vessel, the ship, in which the Tubbs woman toured. The breaking bag, winds unexpected during a day of travel during the cruise. For his own reasons, Rupert did automatically receive the correct interpretation for himself. However, I have said that we must deal with words, breaking down symbols first of all. Part of Rupert's dream, you see, did have to do with the ship, and here with a second vessel and the water. You find that information was given on a subconscious level to Rupert concerning his friend's journey. If you will reread that session dealing with the main dream, you will see the connection. However, there was a deep sense of bewilderment upon Rupert's part with his friend, who is a mother, since neither of them, as adolescents, considered motherhood as a part of their personal futures. Rob notes, true. Jane and Marie went through high school together. Both girls were interested in writing more than motherhood. Through the years, I have heard Jane wonder aloud many times about the fact that Marie decided to have children rather than place her emphasis on writing as Jane chose to. Seth, this sounds extremely involved, but while Rupert did get the correct message, another topmost layer of his subconscious took childish revenge by changing the symbolism of vessel as ship into vessel as womb, container of life. On this level, which also achieved its purpose, the water image was translated into a bag, or the bag of water that burst. The Tubbs woman was to be given still another child, when no more were desired, by Rupert in childish retaliation. Both literal interpretations were true, you see, but Rupert took the opportunity, unconsciously of course, to use valid information, that of the trip, as a method of getting back for the imagined and unreasonable treachery of her friend. You must understand that such occurrences are in no way unusual. If our dream interpretations appear complicated, it is because dreams are complicated, and we are viewing them from the entire group of levels in which they have meaning. To interpret them upon one level alone would be indeed simplicity in itself. But such interpretations lack any full validity, since they lack knowledge of that rich tapestry, the subconscious folds of which dreams are composed and in which they have their validity. Nor have we yet discussed those dream elements which have sufficient energy propulsion to maintain existence in the plane upon which they were created. Such material, I am afraid, must wait, as you do not have the necessary background and fundamentals to give it comprehension. Thoughts and dreams do indeed possess a vitality and reality of which the subconscious has always been aware, and there is in some sense a responsibility here involved. It is impossible to discuss fully in one session the particular topics which may arise, but they will be taken care of in time. An added little personal note, if I may be permitted. Rob, yes. Seth, and at the danger of being considered a nag, despite Rupert's insistence that the bedroom looks better the way it is, your bed should be moved so that the head is upon the wall that I specified months ago. You should know by now that my homey little suggestions have worked out rather amazingly to your view for your benefit. Rob, still amused, Jane pointed to a kind of barrier arrangement of bookcases that we had set up to shield the table at which Jane writes from the rest of the room. She had said it gave her a sheltered feeling that she appeared to need. Seth, this arrangement, while rather a conglomeration, does help to serve a purpose that I mentioned last spring. Some sort of a permanent fixture might set you at rest, Joseph, since you would be harassed no longer. Now, briefly before I close, and again on a personal note, the condition of Rupert's wrist will take care of itself and vanish. He should faithfully continue the back exercises, which he usually resumes and then forgets. The turning around of the bed will alleviate a soreness of his ribs on the left side. I will not go deeply into this, but there is an interruption of vibrations there and a cross current. It is too late to discuss this fully. Psychological time for both of you should be maintained for psychic education and for the physical benefits achieved through momentarily release from physical time. For Rupert, salt is beneficial during some periods of the month and not beneficial at other times. Rob, when are the good times? Seth, most of all, the hand will clear up. It should not be babied in any way. The back exercises will help it also. The period after menstruation is good for salt. I will here close our session. I will be glad, more than glad, to hold a question and answer session whenever you prefer. Rob. Again, Jane laughed and indicated the bookcase barrier. Seth. The permanent setup, whenever and if ever arranged, will here be most beneficial, and in ways that I will not now, because of the time, discuss. There is a connection with mental enclosures, though it is a subconscious and psychological one. Now my most fond best wishes and my congratulations to Rupert, the old firekeeper, in connection with the furnace. He stokes his own flames fairly well, also. Rob, good night, Seth. End at 11:11. Jane was dissociated as usual. Many months ago, Seth had suggested putting the head of our bed to the north, without giving into much detail as to reasons. He referred above to a question and answer session because I had mentioned the idea to Jane earlier in the day. We planned to work up a list of questions. The furnace reference concerns Jane's manual operation today of the usually automatic gas heating plant in the house, after the thermostat developed some as yet undiagnosed trouble.